Welcome everybody to the Longhorn Republic, your source for Texas Longhorn news, sports, and opinions with a bit of snark built in. If you like what we do, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Helps get the show out there. Share this with your friends. Wherever you found it, well, it was Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, anywhere where you find fine podcast content. You can find Kyle and myself. Connect with us on social media at Longhorn Pod on Twitter, Threads, Facebook, and Instagram, the Longhorn Republic, or shoot us an email, longhornrepublicpod@gmail.com. My name is Gerald Goodridge. I'm your host this week, like I am every week. And I'm once again not joined by Kyle Carpenter because he's still in California spending time with his wife. I guess that's okay. But I am here to talk about offensive line. We got a friend of the show. You've heard him before on the podcast. You've seen him before on our post-game live stream. Daniel Seahorn, the man, the myth, the legend himself, former UAB player, former quality control guy at the college level, high school football coach, recruiting guy extraordinaire, joining me today to talk a little bit of offensive line, a position that he and I both as big fellows are very interested in, and also people that just understand the game of football and how important the trenches are. So we'll preview the offensive line, then we'll be back next week. Kyle will join me on Tuesday to continue our preview series, then we'll move to the defensive side of the ball next Thursday and talk about the defensive line, keep it in the trenches, because the game is won and lost at the point of attack. Football season is rapidly approaching. We are well into the single digits and getting closer each and every week. We're continuing through our position previews, and Kyle is in the on the West Coast on a anniversary trip with his wife. We're excited and jealous of him both simultaneously, but the train has to keep rolling, and to do that, I reached out to a longtime friend of the host, friend of mine, a guy who I text with probably almost as much as I text with my wife. It's really weird. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But the man, the myth, the legend himself, Daniel Seahorn, my coworker at BON, my friend, all of the above, to help us talk about the offensive line. Daniel, how are you doing today?
Doing great, man. I appreciate you having me back, you know. So they haven't run me off quite yet, so here I am, you know.
Can't get rid of you, really. No shooking.
But I'm happy to be here. I'm glad we can talk some big uglies, because that's what we're talking today, right?
Two big men talking about big men. It feels just perfect.
I love it.
Like I said, we are going week by week through each position group. We took a couple of weeks off because we had some news break in there, but no big deal. We're back on track to talk about the offensive line. And near and dear to my heart, near and dear to Daniel's heart, but when we talk about the offensive line, there are like two divergent storylines to discuss. Usually you talk about the O-line as one unit, but there is a group that is not questioned at all, and then there's a group that potentially is going to have a lot of questions. So let's get the easy stuff out of the way first, DS. The tackles, right? For what feels like the first time, I mean, I'm thinking of, there's a guy playing for the Dallas Cowboys right now, the Miami Dolphins. I don't know where he's at now. He started with the Dallas Cowboys, but since him, there have really been a lot of questions. There have been a ton of questions for Texas at tackle. It feels like the first time in a long time that Texas doesn't have a big question mark on the outside, because all-conference tackle Kelvin Banks, all world freshman year from him coming back. And then Texas got some good news in the offseason. Christian Jones decided to use his 6 year after having, I think, what can accurately be described as a resurgent year. We expected a lot from Christian Jones early in his career, didn't quite get it, but last year was closer to what we expected. And so I want to ask this question of you, man. Like, how high do you feel like the ceiling of the offense is because of these edge pieces that Texas has?
I mean, let's go ahead and keep it a stack, man. Getting capable tackle bodies, in there is very hard. I mean, for a while, I think what we noticed with Texas offensive line issues, they always seem to be more guard heavy and interior bodies than having guys who could stick at tackle long term. So, and on top of that, like you talk about Christian Jones coming back, he's a redshirt senior. When's the last time that the Longhorns trotted out a redshirt senior offensive tackle? I mean, I don't know the answer, but it feels like a very long time since we've had that much experience out there at tackle for Texas, right? And then let's talk about Kelvin Banks, man. I'm going to try not to gush about my man, EFKB, over here, but when I have said this, I think I've texted this to you, I've said it to some of my friends who I've talked Texas football with, but when you, as a true freshman, not an early enrollee true freshman, we're talking about a true freshman that arrives in the summer, can come in June. Well, that means you get August. August is all you really get when you get the pads on and then the lights come on for the fall. When you can come in at how, I don't know how old he is. I don't know if I was going to say 18, but I feel like that's wrong. when you could come in at that very young, brisk age and basically from day one assert yourself into the starting lineup at the University of Texas at left tackle and never look back, that is a kind of rare that I don't think folks really understand at the offensive line position. I'm not just talking tackle. I'm talking any of the offensive line positions. We're talking about a position where it used to put guys automatically in that red shirt incubator for like a year, year and a half, 2 years, and you wait to see what comes out on the other side. Like, the last time we had a guy go in there basically from day one and start left tackle was Connor Williams, okay? Yep. Connor was plenty good. He's played in the league a while. Kelvin Banks is better than Connor Williams.
100%.
He is. We can talk about the semantics and we can argue about it at certain things, but Kelvin Banks is going to be better than Connor Williams. He is going to be a three and done. Texas fans, please enjoy the next 2 years you got. Because if he plays anything like he did last year and continues to build upon what was a very, very stellar freshman campaign, he is three and done. He is cashing NFL checks in short order. It's happening. So you don't get guys come in that ready physically and also ready mentally to be able to handle the demand that that position takes. You know, forget the blind side. You are literally going up against some of the most freakish athletes that the defense is going to throw at you. You're getting like the big, like 6'5", 6'6", you know, 240 pounds, long arms, the whole nines, and they are coming at you every single snap, and you have the biggest responsibility on the field, you know, of trying to keep him off your quarterback. And you're often, you know, it's more of the old way of thinking, because that whole left tackle, right tackle designation has kind of died on the vine a little bit when you talk to some of the offensive line specialists out there. But we'll take it for what it is. He came in and still locked down left tackle, and he is guarding the blind side of Quinn Ewers from day one.
Yep.
And he not only did it good, he did it very well. So it's staggering, you know.
Very well feels like an understatement. Like, very yeah. well feels like you're underselling it. Like, Will yeah. Anderson, number three pick in the draft, came to town and didn't get a lick Week off two. Of him, right?
Week two.
Week he got to see that. Second, like, grown man Will Anderson, 21 years old, going against an 18, 19-year-old, like, facial hair. Don't even talk about facial hair not connecting. Facial hair not there. Shows not up there. And just can't even get a lick off of him. And that is how impressive, I think. Like, their words undersell how impressive that is. Like, that just, that does not happen. Again, we talk about it all the time. Like, you don't want to start your freshman offensive lineman. It's just not a thing.
No.
And so this was very much a, like, question mark coming in, and it turned out to be, like, a get-to rather than a have-to, which has been Texas's MO as of, you know, the last several years. They have to start a kid. That's kind of what happened to Christian Jones, honestly, to flip it on the other side. Christian Jones started too early, ended up behind the eight ball, and kind of I almost said almost never recovered. Like, he kind of got there last year. We'll see what 2023 has for him. But, like, it's impressive. Like, I think you're underselling it. Words fail. Let's just say it like that.
Yeah. Like I said, I was trying not to gush too much, but it's really hard to not, when you think about all the circumstances that came along with it. Like, you know, this is the University of Texas, right, where expectations are always high, no matter what, right? And everybody knew this kid was coming. And, you know, obviously, you know, the recruitment was a whole nother story, because it kind of got a little rocky for a little bit there. But, you know, all that matters is that you sign him, and he's here now.
Yep.
Imagine if you didn't sign him. That's another thing. Imagine if he did not find a way to get that over the finish line. But he comes in there, and, like, you know, you watch the senior film, and it's fantastic. Everything's pointing up, up, up. We're talking about a guy who was at one point committed to Oklahoma State, of all places. I mean, imagine if that had stuck. But he, like, I sat here, was like thinking about some of the, like, in more recent memory, when you've had some of these true freshman offensive linemen, not just at Texas, but around the country in general. I always end up thinking about Alabama, where you had guys like Cam Robinson, and I want to say it was Cyrus Quanjo back in the day, which is, I say back in the day, man, it's not that far back, but it's within the last decade. Like, when I see guys like that go over to Alabama and start like year one or year one and a half, that's something special. Again, you're talking about guys who you have to have it physically and you have to have it mentally, because it's a very taxing position. You're gonna, like, I don't think until you kind of get within the game, you realize all the stuff that's happening in front of your face as an offensive lineman and all the stuff that you have to be responsible for. Everybody, even the casual football fan, can sit here and talk you through some of the stuff that you see pre-snap. It's once that ball is snapped and things start rolling where things get real interesting for you. And that's where, and that was only some of the things I think I saw that I got a little bit, critical at times for him, was that there was times where his eyes get full, but that's natural for a young player. When the game starts moving really fast, your head starts swimming, you can get overwhelmed. But even that, over time, you started seeing that stuff kind of just fade away. And it's like, he's got this already.
Yeah.
Really? He's already got this? Like
the physical tools made up for it early in the season when the mental and the eyes weren't quite there. And so, again, having the luxury of being so good, so physically mature at 18, 19, and being able to overcome the normal freshmanness of the game being faster than it was 6 months ago at high school, right? And again, we talk a lot about Kelvin Makes. Christian Jones on the other side, we have to talk about him for a minute. I'm just going to fess up to this. 2 years ago, I was very mean to Christian Jones. I just was. It is what it is. And I think Christian Jones probably was meaner to himself than I think any of us ever possibly could be. So I don't necessarily feel super bad about it. But I mean, Kyle Flood is probably the meanest to him, let's be real here. But when you talk about Christian Jones and his ability, the step up he had, he was one of the top graded offensive linemen, not in on the team, but in the country. When you look at Pro Football Focus, and again, Pro Football Focus is hit or miss, iffy sometimes, but a 73 pass blocking grade and a 68.6 run blocking grade, which is absolutely incredible. He actually graded out better as a run blocker than Kelvin Banks did by a factor of almost 5 points. So as good as Kelvin Banks was blocking for the run, Christian Jones was even better. And they were actually comparable when you look at pass blocking talent, 77 and a 73, right? So when you look at the grades and you compare it, we talk a lot about Kelvin Banks because of the story behind it and how excellent he was. But Christian Jones was a really damn good offensive lineman last year. And getting him back for another year and letting Texas get another year of development from Malik Ogbo or a Peyton Kirkland or whoever it might be stepping in, and we'll talk about that later, but getting him back, and if he gets back to that level, that's really impressive for him.
Absolutely, and I'm glad we're pivoting back, because we got to go back over there, because I think this is where it's a big testament to Coach Kyle Flood. That's been probably one of the most important hires Steve Sarkisian made, and most people who will tell you that the offensive line coach is a foundation hire, because where is the game won and lost, Gerald? Where is this football game won and lost?
Trenches.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. Amen. hallelujah. Because that's how this game is won.
Yep.
If you cannot move the other team's big people off the line of scrimmage, you are going to lose football games, at least more games than you win.
Yep.
So everybody has been hooting and hollering for a long time that the Texas offensive line room is not strong. It's not good. They're not developing guys. Enter Coach Kyle Flood. When they were able to take him from Alabama, I think folks at Alabama will tell you right now that they wish they had Coach Kyle Flood still running that room. They've been through about two or three coaches since he's left.
Yeah.
Already. It's only 3 years. Yeah, the first coach they brought in Doug Marrone from the NFL, fired Jackson and Jaguars. That worst coach, I think he got the heave up within a year. Got another one, and so that I'm not out. They're either on their second or third one. I'm not sure if the second guy is still there, but they are on another one. And I remember somebody. I sat there and watched Alabama play several times because I am a Deegan and I love fantasy college football, love it. So I have to watch some of the more finer things, when it comes to SEC football. And I watched them, and I'm just like, their offensive line's been not great for 2 years in a row. That's not good. Very Alabama-like. And that was before they were on the schedule to come to Austin this past year. I'm like, do they have any guys coming down the pike? Because it doesn't seem wonderful. And this is when they had Evan Neal still out there playing left tackle for him, right? He was one of the few bright spots they had. But you looked at the other side, the right tackle, I'm like, they had – and Chris Owens is a Texas kid. He played at Arlington Bowie. Not Bowie. Was it? man, the same one with Shane Bouchel. I'm spacing out my noggin. I remember this. I loved him coming out, and he ended up at Bama. I knew Chris Owens was an interior guy all day long. When he is starting at right tackle for you in SEC play,
oh boy,
you're probably in a bad way. And again, like I said, I loved it, but I'm like, I just knew that was something was not right in Paradise, Alabama on the offensive line then. So I knew something had not gone right for them, and that's Saban's been trying to fix it since Kyle Flood left. So that was this is one of the rooms where I've seen some of the most drastic improvement, not only recruiting, but you're starting to see the proof in the pudding developmentally wise. And Christian Jones is one of those front and center figures for that. Because Christian Jones was like a three-star, like a low three-star recruit when he got signed. But the one thing I will always go back to when I watch Christian Jones' film as a recruit, and one of the things I love to try to dig into the overall athletic profile. You know what his first sport was, I think, that he was actually good at?
He's a soccer kid, right?
Yes! Soccer at that size. I'm like, wait, you mean to tell me that this large human is out here playing soccer? Oh, baby, I'm in. Like I said,
Feet, baby.
The feet are like the feet were there and everything. As I said, the technical stuff is a long way away. But I said, when you get guys like that, it all comes down to the offensive line coach and if he's worth his salt. If you got a coach that has the chops to be able to help guys like that put it together, you're gonna be great for a long time in that position room. And Kyle Flood is one of those guys that I think people can say now, especially folks who follow the Texas program, can say that they trust him to be able to get the most out of him because Christian Jones took his biggest leap developmentally under Kyle Flood.
I remember when Texas was flipping the coaching staff, I remember having this like random like shower thoughts moment that like just passes. And I was like, what if Texas was able to get that Alabama offensive line coach? What if? And then I when it happened, I had to make sure like I hadn't been drinking, like I hadn't been dreaming. Yeah. It was just like, oh, Texas is bringing Kyle Flood. Like that to me is huge. And like you said, they're only on their second offensive line coach, but Alabama still, again, that's more coaching turnover than they had in the decade previous, it feels like, or at least not promoted or hired away coaching turnover, we'll say, than they've had the previous years. And yeah, I think Christian Jones's level up. We saw it with Tope Amade the year before, where it was like Kyle Flood really paying heavy dividends for Texas. And I think an area where we hope that he pays major dividends for Texas is that interior offensive line, right? We talked off the start that like the tackles, we're going to gush about the tackles, and we did it for 15 minutes. Let's just be real here. Now we're going to have to talk about the interior offensive line. You and I, Daniel, are guys that watch the inside. And I think anybody that watches and knows Texas football closely knows that the interior had some struggles last year. And you can look at the advanced stats to show that like it wasn't necessarily an assignment issue. If you actually look at like Stats of War, Parker put out a chart a few weeks back about least number of blown assignments, and Texas was actually top 20 there. But you also look at the corresponding chart, you got to put those two and two together of running success after contact, and Texas also led the conference in that. So it means that Texas had some junk to deal with. Bijan and Roshan had some junk to deal with in the backfield, and a lot of it happened on the interior. So as it stands right now, it looks like Jake Majors, Hayden Connor, Cole Hudson were the group coming back. You also have Connor Robertson, who is in the mix. You've also got DJ Campbell, who's a five-star who actually pushed towards the end of last year. But I think if Texas is going to do what they want to do and what Sark wants to do offensively, and really they need to do that to achieve the goals that they have for the year, like the offensive line, the interior has to level up. And I think that is a big question to ask.
So, this was something I was watching in the spring, because you're right, the interior offensive line needs to take the next step. Because some of the, when you sit here and you watch Texas fans talk about the Texas offensive line, one of the primary people that people usually go at first is usually Jake Majors. They're like, we need to upgrade that position. He's getting beat by big nose tackles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, fine. All right. So, and I talked about this last year when people were talking about wanting to replace him then. Jake is what, about to be, is he a junior, senior?
Senior, I think.
About to be a senior. So you're talking about a senior that's had, hundreds of snaps a year. He's started, 30-plus games and stuff like that. Here's my biggest pushback when you talk about trying to just throw guys like Jake Majors out on the scrap heap, man. Who exactly is replacing him? Because offensive line is more than just any other position out there. huge about continuity and cohesion. And that's something I think I want to back up and make sure we kind of notate. All the starting five are back.
Yeah.
All the starting five are back this year. That right there is hard to undersell whenever you talk about importance for what you're trying to do up front. So you're talking about a lot of continuity, guys that have played with each other, They've got great cohesion. That you cannot ever undersell that when you got five guys trying to work together. You can never undersell it. So Cole Hudson was out this spring. That was one of the guys I was trying to see if he was going to take the next step, because no question, they're out of town. A very talented individual all day long. The coaches love him. But like you said, like the metrics kind of back up that he did. He was kind of an up and down guy that first year, which should be expected, because just like Mr. Kelvin Banks, true freshman, should be expected that he's going to take his lumps. They wanted to get him in there and let's go, and they're going to deal with it as we go, you know. But now where it gets interesting is guys like Cole Hudson and even DJ Campbell, they both got hurt and were out for portions of the spring. So that valuable time, those guys got to miss getting those reps and getting that time to try to get better. So it's really going to be interesting come the fall camp, because now the battle's on, right?
Yeah.
So like now if you do want to tinker with center and anything else, all that's got to now start happening now, like right before it's live. Like the lights are on, DKR's full and everything else. So I am very intrigued, because at literal worst, you're running back out that same starting five last year, which, let's be real, you could be in a lot worse places.
Texas has been in a lot worse places recently.
You could be in a lot worse places to try out the same starting five. I am fully prepared to hear how Kyle Flood has run out about 6-7 different, you know, iterations of his offensive line during camp, trying to figure out who his best starting five is. I mean, I think you got to talk about Cam Williams too, who's penciled in at, you know, being the primary backup at right tackle, but he was getting reps at guard this spring because of the injuries. Mm-hmm. So he's officially cross-trained at both. And I think now when you got to know how they love going to their heavy packages, putting in extra offensive linemen, he's going to be in the game. So you got to talk about like Cam Williams is going to be basically an extension of that starting five, because he's more than likely going to be that blocking tight end in there that you're going to see out there, man. I'm so sorry for any edge guys who has Cam Williams run out there.
And you're going to be like,
I got to set the edge against him. Thanks. I'm so sorry for you, man.
Just,
you know,
because
it's already a long day having all these big guys getting run at you all day long. And then you got a short yardage. Here he comes. Goal line packages. Here he comes. Just a lot. Like what, Cam's like 6'7", 360 or something like that.
Yeah, he weighed in at like 360.
Yeah, large man. And he slimmed up,
yeah,
which is beautiful, because that was the one thing I think a lot of people were worried about with him coming in. He at one point, I want to say, if he wasn't touching four bills, he was over it. That's at one point in high school, and he has literally worked very hard to reshape that body. And when you see him, you're like, dang, he's actually looking pretty good. Kind of svelte, you know, for
a svelte
360 can look, yeah, you know.
I've seen the worst 360. Let's just say
that. Yeah, it ain't sloppy. It ain't sloppy body no more.
Nope.
So I am very interested, because you know, I'm looking at the guys that are technically, you know, according to our lads over here, that looking at our twos. You got Neto Umuzulu. You got Connor Robertson. DJ Campbell, as you said, played, and then Cam Williams, who's going to play, right? Yeah. So we are going to see, and man, we're going to see, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be as interesting as it should have been in the spring over this next month. It's going to be very interesting to see how Kyle Flood goes about it. I am on the edge of my seat to see how it's going to go.
I'm very curious to see how it shakes out, for sure, because I think, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, and I think this is not a controversial take. My one biggest knock on Kyle Flood was not figuring out how to get DJ Campbell on campus in December. If there's anything to knock Kyle Flood for, it's like, I don't know what, he signed the letter of intent, right? I don't know why you couldn't get him there early, but like, I'm curious what that group looks like if DJ Campbell shows up in December, right? Because that's part of why I think Cole Hudson got the start over him. for most of the year. Zach Cole Hudson was an early enrollee and DJ Campbell was not. And so I'm sure there are things that happened in the background and things that happened that needed to happen for him to stay. But like part of it is like getting him some more, getting him a full offseason in the program. The reason why you don't start a lot of young offensive linemen is because they need some time to grow into their big boy bodies. They need some time to grow into the big paws that they've got on them. And so I'm curious to see that 5-star rating for DJ Campbell, how it stacks up. And moving Cam inside, when you talk about Kyle Flood wanting to get bigger, it does not get bigger than Cam Williams. And I think we have to apply, when you talk about Cam Williams being a 3-star, I always wonder how much of his 3-star rating was the simple fact that nobody knew if he was going to have the work ethic to get his body where it needed to be. Like, I always wonder, because, you know, when you talk about ratings, half of it is talent and size, and half of it is like what they're going to project to be. And so did they have questions about his legitimate ability to drop from 400 to 360 where he needed to be playing? Because I don't think there's a athlete big enough in the world to play tackle at 400 pounds, regardless of how swift you are, regardless of how talented you are. Just getting down to the right weight is such a big part of the game. And so moving him inside absolutely gets you bigger. And having him, I think it looks like if he plays inside, it'll be on the right side against Christian Jones. And so the ability to run that zone scheme that Sark likes to run on the right side levels up quite a bit. So the battle is going to be fun. The position battle on the interior feels like good on good, not like trying to find the top of the scrap heap, where it's like these are all legitimate guys that you'd be fine going into battle with. And I think it's just going to be who can separate themselves the most, because this is a group that top end talent, that first recruiting class with Sark and Flood at the offensive line was absolutely ridiculous. So letting those guys sort it out, this is a rising tide raises all ships situation, at least how it feels to me.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, the worst case scenario is like you're going to be trotting guys out there that have played a lot of snaps already. And I feel like the floor is already kind of set, right? It's about finding where the ceiling is at this point. DJ Campbell, I'm with you. I would like, it wasn't just DJ Campbell either. Cam Williams, DJ Campbell, and Kelvin Banks. None of those guys were on campus early. That's what, like, going back to talking about Banks, all those guys didn't arrive until June. And it's usually, you know, it's been pretty common for guys to want to get on campus ASAP, get your clock rolling. That way you're able to acclimate and do all that stuff. That's always what I say. It's the acclimation period. Because some of these big fellas, man, they got to come in. You got to check that conditioning. Some of them got to reshape their body. Yep. Some of it's a play strength issue, all that stuff. You got to figure out where they're at. And then that way, that first spring, you get the kind of early start to see where they're at. So that way you can kind of game plan for them accordingly about how that development's going to go. I mean, if Kelvin Banks had been here in the spring, we would have been hearing all spring like, this dude's a bad, you know what?
Yeah.
Like this dude is that guy. He is the man. That's what I was saying before the podcast. He's the man.
Yeah.
That's all we have heard all offseason. This time is heard. He's the man. He's arguably the best player on the team as a true sophomore. True sophomore. He might be the best guy on the team. If that doesn't get your motor going about how good of a left tackle you got starting for your Texas Longhorns in the year 2023 of our Lord, man, I don't know what else is going to do it for you, man. There's a lot of good football players on this team this year. And that's not me drinking the Kool-Aid. That's me from watching and knowing what they've got. They've injected into the program, coming back with what's already here. Like, there's a lot of good guys, good football players on the program already that are going to go play on Sundays. And they are already saying that Kelvin Banks is the best of the bunch. Do with that what you will. Do with that what you will.
I mean, so, for me, it's drink more Kool-Aid, I think is what I'm going to do with that.
I'm in. I like Kool-Aid.
I've been hurt before.
But, like guys like DJ Campbell, the one thing I saw towards the end when we started seeing more of him, good, really good run blocker.
Yep.
But the game was moving fast for him as a pass blocker. We saw that in the Baylor game.
Yep.
Like Baylor saw him come in the game. I will never forget it. I'm like, it's like, if you get a corner goes down and gets hurt, what do? Throw it at the backup. The guy coming to the game, you are dialing up a shot play to check his water, is what my coach say. Hey, let's check his water right now. Let's see if he's got it or not. We are coming for you. The ball is going to find you right now.
Yep.
What they did is they're like, okay, here comes a rook. We're gonna play some games. Let's play some games with his eyes. I think they held a stunt and the guy, you know, crossed his face, didn't see it, and boom, he gets Quinn Ewers hit. So, like, that's the stuff, like, I wanted to see if he progressed as far as recognition and awareness. But it was clear that if it was, oh, just run, we're going forward, and I'm just beating up the dude in front of me, oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
I saw that. I got that. So that's not a problem for DJ. So it's all going to be about putting all those athletic traits that we know he has and getting all the technical refinement as a pass blocker. And if that stuff catches up in year two, you're gonna have a really good football player. So, but like what you said, you know, we're raising all ships here. It's not going to be given to him. He's got to go earn it. And he's got Cole Hudson, you got Hayden Connor. You got to get in where you fit in. Not to mention that Neto Umeazulo is no slouch either. Another guy who I think he's really good as a run blocker already. I think that was one of his best traits as a recruit that I noticed. He's a devastating run blocker. So another guy you can throw in there on them heavy packages. You know, so it's all about getting the reps and going backwards as a pass blocker, you know, making sure you're being able to go backwards and also recognize the stuff going on in front of your face and not taking the bait, not turning your shoulders, you know, all that other stuff that comes with the stuff of being an offensive lineman. But it's going to be really interesting. And I can't wait, man, because talking about camp means that football is close.
Yep.
We are right there. Like, right there. The fact that we're talking about camp competitions and stuff like that, I can practically taste it. It's right there, just on the other side of this July, August line. It's right there. The guys are going to be, we're going to start talking about, like, you know, actual season expectations and all that other stuff, man. And we are just so close. And before you know it, it's Saturday nights. You know, they're teeing it up. We're going to be hearing, you know, the Gus Johnsons and the Lee Corsos and everybody else on our TV. It's time to go, baby.
It is giving me that the tingles that we feel. It's a 2:30 Fox game, so it might be Gus Johnson against Rice, which, weirdly enough, we'll talk about this when we get to the Rice preview. Yep. Texas playing a very familiar quarterback there. But one last thing on the offensive line of DJ Campbell's development. One thing that, like, we don't talk about enough is that Arlington Bowie's a very run-heavy offense, and so, like, it's just a thing, right? They run, you know, they 60% of the time they're running the ball, so it's just something that he has to grow and develop in. But Daniel, I know you've got kids, I've got kids, we've got to get to our kids. So, brother, if folks want more of what you've got to offer, man, where can they find you on the internet?
Oh, always at Daniel C. on X, Twitter? What is this?
Yeah.
Oh, something. Threads too, same name. Like, I, you know, I'm you know, diversifying because I don't know how much longer that the thing that is now formally called Twitter is going to be a thing. But yeah, Daniel C. Horn, really on all socials, okay? So if y'all want to see me, I'll be on there. I'm on Board Runners Nation. You regularly see me post some recruiting stuff. So yeah, you can always find me there no matter what, even if Elon does decide to completely shut things down on us over there. Okay.
I've got that blue sky invite for you if you need a DS.
Yeah, I'm down. Like I gotta try these other things, man. Twitter has been such a steady thing for us, and now I'm not sure how steady it's going to be for much longer.
All right, well, Daniel, thank you so much for joining us, brother. We will we'll have to have you back on, and I'm sure we'll have you on during the season as we talk all sorts of fun Texas football stuff, man. But thank you so much, and looking forward to some football.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me, man. You take it easy, and hey, welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning in again this week. Thanks for Daniel for subbing in for Kyle. I know he's got kids at work because he's a teacher, and kids at home because he's got a bunch of kids, but he took some time out. So thanks again, Daniel, for helping us out. If you like what we do, please leave us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It helps boost the show. You can find the show on Twitter at Longhorn Pod. Find me on Twitter at GH Goodrich. We're also on Threads and Blue Sky and Facebook, Instagram, all of those spots. Thank you so much for tuning in again this week. And until Tuesday, hook up.